VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. We've got a news roundup day here before you today and lots of stories and issues that Sandy's gotten prepared for us here today. Certainly to be understanding of the times in which we live, also reminded of the scripture that says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, darkness for light and light for darkness. And friends, that is so characteristic of the times in which we live. We want to be understanding of these times. We want to be informed. We want to know how we can make a difference, how we can be praying, and certainly the urgency of getting out the gospel message in such a time as this. Well, shootings in the news again. From CBN, a gunman carrying a rifle and handgun killed four people and wounded others Wednesday at a Tulsa medical building on a hospital campus. The shooter, a patient, blaming the surgeon for ongoing pain after recent back surgery. Then also from the Des Moines Register, a man shot and killed two female victims and killed himself in a parking lot outside the Ames Cornerstone Church last night, according to police and officials at the church. The lead pastor there, Mark Vance, said, we can say that we are more than saddened by the events that transpired. Our hearts break. We're all involved, praying for everyone affected, especially the family of the victims. Prayer service was held this morning at 10 o'clock at Cornerstone Church. From ABC News, two people were shot at a cemetery, Racine, Wisconsin, yesterday. Police said multiple shots were fired. The mayor of Racine, Corey Mason, released a statement saying the heinous shooting at the cemetery while a family was already mourning the loss of a loved one is a new low for these perpetrators of violence in our community, saying the violence has got to stop. From BearingArms.com, we do learn that police said a woman who was lawfully carrying a pistol shot and killed a man who began shooting at a crowd of people Wednesday night in Charleston, West Virginia. Now, these stories don't generally make the news. Dennis Butler was killed after allegedly shooting at dozens of people attending a graduation party. No injuries were reported, but investigators said Butler was warned about speeding in the area with children present before he left. He later returned with a firearm, began firing into the crowd before he was shot and killed. Instead of running from the threat, she engaged with the threat and saved several lives last night, said the Charleston Police Department Chief of Detectives, Tony Hazlett. Well, last night, President Biden said the Second Amendment is not absolute in a speech following a wave of these shootings across the nation. He's calling on Congress to do what he's calling common sense gun control legislation. Like to have you hear in with your own ears some of the things that President Biden had to say last evening.
The issue we face is one of conscience and common sense. For so many of you at home, I want to be very clear. This is not about taking away anyone's guns. It's about not about vilifying gun owners. In fact, we believe we should be treating responsible gun owners as an example of how every gun owner should behave. I respect the culture and the tradition and the concerns of lawful gun owners. At the same time, the Second Amendment, like all other rights, is not absolute. It was Justice Scalia who wrote, and I quote, like most rights, the rights granted by the Second Amendment are not unlimited. Not unlimited. It never has been. There have always been limitations on what weapons you can own in America. For example, machine guns have been federally regulated for nearly 90 years, and this is still a free country. I know that we can't prevent every tragedy, but here's what I believe we have to do. Here's what the overwhelming majority of American people believe we must do. Here's what the families in Buffalo and Uvalde in Texas told us we must do. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. And if we can't ban assault weapons, then we should raise the age to purchase them from 18 to 21. Strengthen background checks. Enact safe storage law and red flag laws. Repeal the immunity that protects gun manufacturers from liability. address the mental health crisis, deepening the trauma of gun violence and as a consequence of that violence. These are rational, common sense measures. Here's what it all means. It all means this. We should reinstate the assault weapons ban on high-capacity magazines that we passed in 1994 with bipartisan support in Congress and the support of law enforcement. 9 categories of semi-automatic weapons were included in that ban, like AK-47s and AR-15s.
Well, that's an excerpt from a speech last evening. I did not hear, saying about locking up those who have been perpetrators of this. You know, we talk about this, and yet those who have been picked up for, yes, even felons with weapons when they're not supposed to have them, just happened here recently in our own community, getting off with just a signature bond. Friends, we've got to clamp down on this. We're purposely putting forth criminals, lawbreakers, right back into society again. I mean, what happened when COVID came about? We got to empty the jails all over the country. Got to empty our jails. Don't want the spread of COVID. And folks, you put lawlessness back into the communities across the nation. And when things like this happen, you said, where did we go wrong? No, we don't want to deal with mental health issues. No, we have to go after guns. We have to go after magazines if they hold 10 or more bullets. We have to go, after the gun manufacturers. They're the bad guys in all of this. Well, as he said last night, that the Second Amendment is not absolute. And let me just read for you what that Second Amendment says, just so you're clear. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Newsmax.com reports the House Judiciary Committee marked up 3 new gun laws that will head to the floor for a vote next week. Pelosi said the package of bills raises the age to buy semi-automatic firearms from 18 to 21, bans civilian use of high-capacity magazines and bump stocks, imposes mandatory background checks on ghost gun purchases, bolsters firearm storage laws, and bans proxy buyers for those who do not pass a background check. In addition to that package, the House is expected to vote on codifying nationwide red flag laws that seek to use courts to keep guns out of the hands of those who impose a threat to themselves or others by implementing a nationwide extreme risk law and encouraging states to enact their own extreme risk laws. Why are they letting people out of jails and prisons early? Why are they giving just zero bail for those who have been found guilty or admitted guilt? Something's wrong here, friends. Also, the Washington Times reporting the gun control package by the House Democrats identifies high-capacity magazines as holding 10 rounds or more. The new limit on ammunition clips is part of the 6-piece gun control package that the House Judiciary Committee is marking up during an emergency meeting. The original version on the limit on high-capacity magazines did not outlaw existing magazines that hold more than 10 rounds, giving them grandfather status. But not for the future. Fox News is reporting Representative Jones said Thursday Democrats will abolish the Senate filibuster and pack the Supreme Court in order to pass more restrictions on guns as the House prepares to advance a package of gun bills next week. He made the comments at a House Judiciary Committee markup of Protecting Our Kids Act. The emergency committee meeting was called by Jerry Nadler in response to the shootings that have taken place, but he said, we, even if it means abolishing the filibuster or expanding the Supreme Court, we are going to do it. Interesting story here from Christian Headlines. Evangelist Franklin Graham said America's abandonment of God and its embrace of violent entertainment is to blame for a series of these shootings, saying, quote, President Biden and his administration want to ban certain caliber handguns. That won't help the problem. What would make the difference is a ban on all of the movies, the television shows, the video games graphically depicting gun violence, bloody gore, and death. We're a nation addicted to violence, and they call it entertainment. Until we get a handle on this problem, we'll see more and more of these kinds of tragic incidents across the nation. He said the nation has a spiritual problem. We've taken God out of schools, and most homes are leaving God out of the rearing of their children. He is the solution. The more we turn our backs on God and His Word, the more problems we have as individuals and as a nation. Very interesting indeed. By the way, even when good things happen, such as Border Patrol agents defying the authorities and of the Uvalde school of the police there going in and taking out the bad guy. From townhall.com, it's been increasingly evident that members of the Border Patrol, specifically those on the elite BORTAC team, defied orders from the Uvalde police and breached the classroom the shooter was in at Robb Elementary School in order to stop the attack. The local police appeared to believe that the situation had turned from an active shooter to a barricaded subject, despite the 911 calls being made by children who were trapped inside the classroom with the shooter. If not, the Border Patrol agents, this shooter could have claimed even more lives. Now, House Democrats and the Homeland Security Committee want to investigate the agents and their role in taking down the shooter. We recommend that law enforcement personnel who respond to the shooting and acted to help save students and teachers and prevent further loss of life. And at the same time, this tragedy raises questions about what authorities and responsibilities DHS personnel have in such situations. House Democrats intend to hold a hearing to determine exactly what legal authority the Border Patrol ICE agents had to have gotten involved and stopped the Uvalde shooter and potential future incidents. And at the same time, the Homeland Dems are commending federal agents for saving the day. We commend you for saving the day, but by what authority do you have to do this? Crazy, folks. Washington Stand says on Tuesday, White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre revealed that Biden intends to pursue gun restrictions exclusively, adding that there's been conversation about hardening schools. That is not something that he believes in. He has instead been focusing on gun control since he was vice president, so improving mental health and school safety are two things he does not agree on. McClintock said that's inexplicable to me. Who noted that the scene of the most recent tragedy is a gun-free zone? Breitbart reporting that the New York Governor Kathy Hochul joined with state assembly leaders to announce 10 new gun control bills in their state, a new minimum age and licensing requirement. I wonder how her gun control laws are working right now. Didn't something just happen in Buffalo, folks? Yeah. Some of the most restrictive gun control laws there in New York. Also from townhall.com, a new polling from The Economist and YouGov shows more Americans favor administrators and teachers being armed if they so choose. More than 50% of respondents said they favor or somewhat favor the concept. Republicans and independents support arming administrators and teachers, while Democrats strongly oppose the measure. The Daily Wire telling us that the Ohio Republican Governor Mike DeWine expected to sign a bill approved by the state's legislature that would allow school teachers and other school employees to carry a firearm as early as this fall. The Armed Security Staff Bill, HB 99, hopes to offer schools an additional option to provide stronger security for children. The legislation would require school employees who carry a firearm to obtain 24 hours of training. Employees would also be required to receive 8 hours per year of recertification training. And Breitbart is reporting that the California State Senate has passed a bill that would allow schools not to report threats or attacks against employees or officials to law enforcement, despite the ongoing national shock and outrage over Uvalde, the mass shooting there. The bill introduced passed easily yesterday, or rather last Thursday after the shooting.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why do scientific dating methods seem to indicate that the world has a vast age?
Chris, in most dating efforts, you must observe a present-day process and the state of that system affected by that process. Then you conclude how long it would take for that process to produce the present state. The main assumption is that the rate of that process has never been much different than it is now. For instance, we might date the Mississippi Delta by estimating how long it would take for the Mississippi River to bring enough silt down to build up that huge delta. But if a great flood had occurred in the past, the rate of delta buildup might have been much different than today. If we include Noah's flood in our thinking, then most dating techniques actually give a date far too young to have allowed for evolution to occur. They're consistent with the biblical doctrine of the young earth, the one we read about back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, a News Roundup Day here today. And just before we leave the topic here on the issue of handguns and so forth, CBN News reporting that the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government introduced legislation Monday that would put a freeze on importing, buying, or selling handguns. Trudeau said, "We are capping the number of handguns in this country. It is set to halt the growth of personally owned handguns and expected to be enacted this fall." Let's listen in to the Prime Minister.
"We're introducing legislation to implement a national freeze on handgun ownership. What this means is that it will no longer be possible to buy, sell, transfer, or import handguns anywhere in Canada. In other words, we're capping the market for handguns." "As a further part of this new legislation, we're also fighting gun smuggling and trafficking by increasing maximum criminal penalties and providing more tools for law enforcement to investigate firearm crimes. And we'll require the permanent alteration of long gun magazines so they can never hold more than 5 rounds. These are actions that doctors, experts, and chiefs of police have been calling for years. And we're acting on their advice."
That's Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau as they have introduced in Canada this legislation on Monday. And just so the story doesn't get away from us, too, from Uvalde, one of the little girls that had been killed in this horrific shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, being remembered for sharing the gospel on social media. I do not know the time frame as to when this was recorded. We have just a 15-second clip here, but I'd like you to hear from little Ellie Garcia, a 9-year-old victim from the massacre there at the school, who posted a short video on TikTok about Jesus before she died.
"Hey, guys. I just want to give you a little touch-up. Jesus, he died for us, so when we die, we'll be up there for him. In my room, I have 3 pictures of him."
Yeah, that was little Ellie Garcia indicating that Jesus, he died for us, so when we die, we will be up there with him. Let's turn to the White House, a press release that came out. Matter of fact, also a proclamation. And for the first time, folks, they've added another alphabet letter into their proclamation, because the president issued a proclamation on lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex Pride Month 2022. And he said that we reflect on the progress we have made as a nation in the fight for justice, inclusion, and equality, while reaffirming our commitment to do more to support LGBTQI plus rights at home and abroad. He said, "Since my first day in office, I've taken historic action to ensure that everyone, no matter who they are or what they or whom they love, has an equal place in our democracy," talking about executive orders that he signed and exclusive inclusive passports for transgender Americans and going through the screening process at airports, open service for patriotic transgender military members, better services for LGBTQI plus veterans. But he said there's more work to be done. "That's why I continue to call on the Congress to pass the Equality Act, which will enshrine long overdue civil rights protections and build a better future for all LGBTQI plus Americans. We must also fight for LGBTQ plus I plus seniors so they can age with dignity. They can age with dignity. And we must confront the disproportionate levels of poverty, homelessness, and unemployment in the LGBTQI plus community." My. Todd Starnes reporting about the Marine Corps, yeah, making a mockery on social media. They posted a photo of rainbow-colored bullets on a combat helmet. Matter of fact, all the branches. I did a look at all the branches of the military and everyone getting involved with this LGBT Pride Month, and even the Space Force tweeting out a photo of an astronaut holding up a rainbow flag. Let's see. Also, a Wisconsin couple won a legal battle Wednesday in their lawsuit alleging that their daughter's school encouraged her to identify as a transgender over their wishes. Wisconsin Circuit Court Judge Michael Maxwell denied a motion by Kettle Moraine School District to dismiss the case, ruling that the parents' lawsuit demonstrates a potential violation of their rights as parents to direct the upbringing of their child and is sufficient to survive a motion to dismiss. The parents' original complaint alleges that the school has a policy allowing students to socially transition to a different gender identity at school without parental consent and even over the parents' objection. Victory today in Keele, Wisconsin. A press release here from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WIL. The Keele Area School District closed a Title IX complaint and investigation against three middle school boys who were accused of sexual harassment for using incorrect pronouns when referencing a classmate. WIL issued a letter to Keele in May explaining that the mere use of biologically correct pronouns not only does not constitute sexual harassment under Title IX or the district's own policy, but a speech that is protected by the First Amendment. Well, according to Gallup, a Gallup poll, 71% of Americans now say they support legal same-sex marriage. Americans who report that they attend church weekly remain the primary demographic holdout against gay marriage, with 40% in favor and 58% opposed, they report. Well, from LifeSiteNews.com, a North Carolina preschool teacher has resigned after being caught using LGBTQ plus flashcards in the classroom. We spoke about this earlier with Peter LaBarbera. This is a special needs pre-K teacher at the Ballantyne Elementary School in North Carolina's Wake County. Maybe it should be Woke County. Well, it's Wake County, tendered her resignation following a backlash from a parent who objected to the introduction of radical gender ideology in the classroom. Well, the cards that were designed by a now-defunct woke company, Bias Box, which focused on marketing pro-LGBTQ plus products, including flashcards of non-binary and transgender animals, depicted an image of a pregnant man as well as children and families with same-sex parents. The Wake County School District put out a statement saying it was concerned to learn of the inappropriate instructional resource found in a preschool classroom, adding that the cards were not part of the school's curriculum and that the offensive materials had been removed. And what we found out, folks, it was a parent who reached out to their legislator, their state representative, to express concern, and the cards began to tumble. Friends, you wonder, does your voice matter? Does it matter if I speak out on issues? Does it matter if I make my call to my legislator? In this case, it did, as the pushback happened because a parent cared enough to reach out to their state representative and exposed what was going on. And now this individual who was using these unauthorized flashcards has resigned. From LifeSiteNews.com, Montana has eliminated the option to change the sex listed on birth certificates to align with a so-called gender identity, has affirmed that no medical procedure changes a person's sex. Red State News is reporting that it's in a seminal moment, so many people's lives, one they will remember and cherish forever. Approximately 1,100 students lived that moment and achieved their dream of graduating high school yesterday, Thursday, June 2nd. Their names announced as they proudly walked across the stage in front of their parents and friends at their charter high school in California. Yet, in another sign of the nation's growing cruelty toward our children, another 70 students barred from attending due to their vaccination status and would have to watch remotely. Simply put, no vax card, no entry. Independent Sentinel reporting that a Lancet research article crushes the CDC argument for school mask mandates. The article is titled "Revisiting Pediatric COVID-19 Cases in Counties with and Without Social or Without School Mask Requirements, United States, July 1 through October 20th, 2021. It was posted May 25th. They found no correlation between mask mandates and cases. Saying there has been considerable debate about mask mandates in schools in the United States. To date, there have been no randomized controlled trials of mask requirements in children. All analyses of the effectiveness of school mask mandates have relied on observational studies. Let's see. This is LifeSiteNews.com. The Biden administration has asked the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals Tuesday of this week to reinstate the federal mask mandate for public transportation, claiming that the requirements fell well within the zone of reasonableness. We understand that since they removed the mask mandates, the incidents of bad incidents aboard planes have just plummeted. That, you know, unruly passengers, that was reaching all-time high, well, had scored beyond all-time highs, but have just fallen through the basement. Let's see, CNSNews.com, attorney and former Ambassador C. Boyden Gray held a press conference on the phone Wednesday to introduce a new lawsuit being filed against the FDA over its claims that ivermectin is an ineffective treatment for COVID-19. Saying tomorrow we'll be suing the FDA over its unlawful attempts to interfere with the practice of medicine, specifically this crusade to halt the use of ivermectin to treat COVID-19. This lawsuit is very important to preserve medical freedom and the doctor-patient relationship. Ivermectin was approved by the FDA for human use in 1996, said Gray. The drug has long been used off-label to treat numerous diseases. The lawsuit was filed June 2nd in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Texas. How many times have you been seeing on the news about this horse dewormer or the horse medications? Well, folks, it's been utilized and approved by the FDA for human use in 1996. Well, Dominion back in the news here, and I'm reading not from a conservative source. This is from AP News. Electronic voting machines from a leading vendor used in at least 16 states have software vulnerabilities that leave them susceptible to hacking if unaddressed. The nation's leading cybersecurity agency said in an advisory sent to the state election officials. The advisory details 9 vulnerabilities and suggests protective measures to prevent or detect their exploitation. The CISA executive director, that's the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency, Brandon Wales, said in a statement that states' standard election security procedures would detect exploitation of these vulnerabilities and in many cases would prevent attempts entirely, yet the advisory seems to suggest states are not doing enough. Isn't that interesting? Oh, everything's safe. There is no problem here with the Dominion. And yet we find the CISA putting forth this notice here that send an advisory now to officials that suggest that protective measures are needed to prevent or detect their exploitation. Okay, Daily Signal, Connecticut hiring a misinformation specialist to police the internet ahead of the midterm elections, according to the state's budget statement. The position of a misinformation security analyst was proposed by Connecticut Secretary of State Denise Merrill to combat election misinformation that she said has undermined public confidence in the fairness and capability of election results. And Right Side Broadcasting Network says 5 cities in Wisconsin being hit with lawsuits from the Thomas More Society staging a fight over illegal drop boxes positioned throughout the state during the 2020 presidential election. That is the communities Green Bay, Kenosha, Madison, Milwaukee, and Racine. I've got a few more stories here after the break. It's a News Roundup Friday here today on Crosstalk. We'll be back in just a minute.
Islam is on the rise all over the West, including America. In his compelling book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, author Erwin Lutzer believes that we have reached a tipping point. The spread of Islam is impacting the way we live, and this advancement of Islam poses a threat to our freedoms of speech and religion. But he says this time also offers Christians a powerful opportunity to share the gospel. In The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, Dr. Lutzer addresses several important issues, including the agenda that Islamists have for the West, how Islam's growing influence will affect you personally, and what the Church should be doing in response. He also gives a reminder that ultimately, the enduring truth of the cross will prevail. Copies of the book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, are available for a donation of $17 to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829 during regular office hours. Again, that number, toll-free, is 1-800-729-9829.
It's a News Roundup Day here on Crosstalk, and we thank you for tuning in and listening here on a daily basis. So much news and information to keep you abreast of matters that are taking place in our nation and around the world as well. Got a problem going on in Washington State. You see, they passed a law to stop police officers, constraining officers, and state drivers are refusing to pull over when asked by the police officers. Northwest News Network recorded nearly 1,000 fail-to-yield incidents in 2022. Patrol officers have described a sharp rise in motorists fleeing traffic stops, speeding away from sometimes in stolen cars. According to one county police chief of Washington, House Bill 1054, which Governor Jay Inslee signed into law last year, has banned police from pursuing traffic violators in their cruisers unless the officer is granted permission by a supervisor or the perpetrator is suspected of being under the influence or having committed a violent offense or is causing imminent danger or must be identified. Something's changed. People are not stopping now, a Washington State Patrol sergeant told the AP. It's happening 3 to 5 times a shift. 3 to 5 times a shift on some nights and a couple times a week on the day shift. Why would they stop? Why would they stop? It's against the law to pursue after them. Bad guys will continue to do bad. CBN News reporting 100 days into Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the war has brought the world a near daily drumbeat of gut-wrenching scenes, civilian corpses in the streets, and a blown-up theater in Mariupol, the chaos at a train station. Much going on. Nobody knows how many combatants or civilians have died. Claims of casualties by government officials who may sometimes be exaggerated or lowballing their figures for public relations reasons are all but impossible to verify. Ukraine's Parliamentary Commission on Human Rights says Russia's military has destroyed almost 38,000 residential buildings, rendering about 220,000 people homeless. The UN Refugee Agency estimates that about 6.8 million people have been driven out of Ukraine at some point during the conflict. Ukrainian officials say that before the February invasion, Russia controlled some 7% of Ukrainian territory, including Crimea. But on Thursday, Zelensky said Russian forces now held 20% of the country. There's economic fallout going on as well as the on issues pertaining to trade, fertilizer, food, etc. All the grim results of what is taking place there. CBN News is reporting there's history in the making in the Middle East as Israel has entered its first free trade agreement with an Arab nation. The Tuesday signing is another positive result of the Abraham Accords, and trade between Israel and the Gulf states already reaping the benefits. Negotiated over a period of some 6 months, the two countries are expected to increase bilateral trade in goods and services, as well as Israeli exports to the UAE. LifeNews.com, the individual or people who leaked the U.S. Supreme Court draft ruling the overturn of Roe v. Wade still has not been publicly identified nearly a month after the unprecedented action. CNN reports that U.S. Supreme Court Marshal Gail Curley leading the investigation. John Roberts recently met with the justices' law clerks about the leak. While many suspect a law clerk may have been the person who leaked the draft, there's no evidence of this, at least not publicly, and the news outlet estimated as many as 75 people, including the justices, clerks, and office staff, may have had access to the draft. Individuals with knowledge of the investigation told CNN that authorities are taking steps to request cell phone records and signed affidavits from the justices' clerks. Going to the state of New York, LifeNews.com reporting the New York State Legislature passed legislation that will effectively empower the state to investigate pro-life pregnancy centers for not offering abortions, effectively punishing them for their reason for existence. The bill, this is S-470 and A-5499, tasked the New York Commissioner of Health to conduct a study and issue a report examining the unmet health and resource needs facing pregnant women in New York and the impact of limited service pregnancy centers. It's not enough that they're killing almost one out of every two babies being killed in New York, but now going after the pro-life pregnancy centers for not doing abortions. LifeSiteNews.com is reporting that in the wake of the leaked opinion, the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, News has been rife with reports of the planned expansion of abortion pill usage throughout the U.S. Planned Parenthood and other abortion businesses are scrambling to assure that the public has access to this chemical abortion cocktail. Many have known this as RU486. They say it's perfectly safe, even without the oversight of a licensed physician. I underscore my words, they say it's safe. However, Operation Rescue has obtained 128 reports of RU486 events submitted to the State Medical Board of Ohio by abortion facilities statewide that soundly refute the abortion promoter's claims of safety. Complications setting in from this, five women hospitalized, 125 serious complications in the last 16 months. CBN News has a story on the Michigan Governor Whitmer and Attorney General Nessel going all in for abortion, vowing they will defy their state law should Roe v. Wade be overturned. LifeSiteNews.com tells the 48 Senate Republicans warning Democrats not to target the pro-life Hyde Amendment. Walmart, LifeNews.com, Walmart shareholders voted against a resolution that would have the largest retailer investigate promoting abortion to its employees once the Supreme Court overturns Roe. Their latest move was to try to get Walmart to investigate the supposed negative repercussions from overturning Roe. That was shot down by shareholders. Wisconsin Family Action, yeah, you know them that had that Molotov cocktail thrown of their offices set ablaze. Well, Wisconsin Family Action is now offering a reward payable to the person or persons who furnishes information leading to the arrest and conviction of individuals responsible for the arson that occurred May 8, 2022 in the early morning hours at their office in Madison. That's Madison, Wisconsin. The FBI is working with local Madison law enforcement to investigate the matter, and after 3 weeks, and despite the admission of Jane's Revenge, there's been no arrest made or any indication of progress identifying a person of interest. Appling said that both Madison Police Chief, this is Jelaine Appling who heads Wisconsin Family Action, Wisconsin Family Council, said both Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes and Governor Tony Evers fell extremely short of showing any interest in bringing these responsible to justice and instead exhibited empathy with pro-abortion activists and their emotional reactions in overturning Roe. Therefore, we believe it necessary to offer a reward to help move this investigation along. Isn't that amazing? I mean, where is this story? I mean, some matters, if this had been an abortion center, we would have seen this story day after day after day across all national media. But because this is a pro-life, pro-family, pro-marriage organization, oh, no, we report the story, but then we go silent on it. And where is the investigation? Where is that to holding those accountable for doing this, even though a group has taken responsibility? LifeNews.com reporting two more pregnancy resource centers vandalized in May in Oregon, the latest of dozens of attacks on pro-life organizations and churches. They got a listing of multiple such incidents, 39 events that have taken place. Quickly on the immigration front, the liberal media may not talk about it very often, but the border crisis is still happening, reports the Gateway Pundit. More than 4,000 people crossed the border illegally on Memorial Day weekend alone. NBC News reporting Iran is accumulating enough enriched uranium to build a nuclear bomb, according to new findings from the United Nations Atomic Energy. Minneapolis, well, this spring, Minneapolis became the first large city in the U.S. to allow the Islamic call to prayer to be broadcast publicly on loudspeakers. Just think if they did that with the Lord's Prayer, the prayer to the disciples. Just think what would happen then. Separation of church and state. Washington Examiner reporting that OPEC pledged on Thursday to increase oil production further after resisting repeated calls by the Biden administration and other nations to do so to tame high prices. Their cartel, which includes non-member Russia, committed to raising its collective production by 648,000 barrels per day beginning in July. That's roughly a 200,000 barrel per day increase from its recent monthly publication increase targets. The Epoch Times reporting that Republicans on the House Committee on Energy and Commerce have raised concerns about how the Biden administration's oil reserve releases may impact our U.S. national security. This is Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers of Washington, the leading Republican lawmaker on the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, and Fred Upton from Michigan, he's the top Republican on the Subcommittee on Energy, said in a June 2nd letter to the Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, they're concerned. Concern that the U.S. Department of Energy is rapidly depleting the nation's petroleum reserves in an attempt to alleviate energy shortages before the midterm elections in November, and that the Biden administration has failed to come up with a plan to maintain reserves over the long term. Weren't we just energy independent less than 2 years ago? Well, friends, it looks like it has happened again. The story on the Gateway Pundit, a barn that housed tens of thousands of chickens on Forsman Farm in Howard Lake, Minnesota, one of the nation's largest egg producers, was set aflame late Saturday night. According to Forsman Farms, which provides more than 3 million eggs to the largest retailers in the country, the cause of the fire remains a mystery as investigators evaluate the scene to determine how the barn was set ablaze. Law enforcement officials estimate at least 200,000 chickens were killed in the massive flame. The fire at this commercial egg farm in Minnesota is the latest food production facility to mysteriously go up in smoke over the past year as an inventory on store shelves across the U.S. becomes increasingly bare amid a fertilizer and food shortage and historic inflation. Have you seen what's going on with the price of eggs? And now another mysterious fire at this egg factory? Just the News reporting that spiking fertilizer costs are squeezing farmers in the Midwest. An average 2,500-acre corn and soybean farm has seen the fertilizer bill increase $175,000 in the last year, going from $250,000 to $425,000. Bad news for farmers, as well as grocery store customers who are purchasing dietary staples like meat, dairy, and bread. U.S. natural gas prices have skyrocketed nearly 150% this year, while inventory levels have shrunk, signaling more consumer pain ahead of the summer season, reports Conservative Daily News. And what's going on in Los Angeles? Los Angeles Times reporting, citing the climate crisis, the L.A. City Council voted last Friday, to ban most gas appliances in new construction, a policy that is expected to result in new homes and businesses coming equipped with electric stoves, clothes dryers, water heaters, and furnaces. We're putting so much more on the electric grid, which is not promising to satisfy the needs. More than 50 California cities and counties have adopted similar rules banning or discouraging gas hookups in homes and other buildings. And here we have from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, what was it today? Potentially dangerous blackouts across the Midwest are possible this summer due to hotter weather, growing demand for power, and here it is, the retirement of coal-fueled power plants, according to a recent report. Friends, I've got more news, but I see the clock is going quickly here. Let's open up some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. That's the number to Crosstalk. We've got just one segment remaining. We'd love to hear from you, 800-733-9829. By the way, the Secretary of the Navy says the climate crisis, well, climate change is the focal point of his tenure, U.S. Navy, fighting climate crisis. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In November of 2021, a group known as NTI, Nuclear Threat Initiative, put out a report of a fake country that had an outbreak of monkeypox. And in the report, they said it would outbreak in May of 2022, May 15th, 2022, to be precise. Well, guess what? That's pretty much when we started hearing about monkeypox in the news overseas and now in America. They went on to describe the goal, the objective, give more power to the World Health Organization, which is China, which is also the biggest funder of WHO, reported to be Bill Gates. So do you want the UN, Bill Gates, and China running our healthcare system and telling us when there's an emergency and when we have to shut down our businesses and our churches and our schools and stay inside? If we don't fight this global tyranny, that's what's coming. They've already gamed it, and now it's being rolled out. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
So again, your reaction to these stories or other current news events here today on Crosstalk, our number 800-733-9829. We're going to begin with Tom in Tomah, Wisconsin. Tom, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, where's the ACLU when the Muslims are playing the call to prayer? They should be complaining about that.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? All over for calling out people to say that Allah is greater? I mean, that's really what this call to prayer is, to say that Allah is greater.
Yep. They don't know it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Jim in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Jim. I personally think that it's going to take, per the Second Amendment, which is another reason why they want to get rid of it, not just to take guns away from citizens, but to keep the citizenry from having an organized militia not regulated by the government. That is obviously, our justice system is so broken. Until we have that, I don't see how this is going to get fixed.
Yeah. Well, Jim, and also keep in mind, and has gone through the Supreme Court, that the Second Amendment is a individual right to keep and bear arms. It's an individual right. It's not just for the purpose of organizing a militia, but it is an individual right that the people who fall under the Constitution do have.
Yes.
Great.
Yes, that is. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for the call. Barry in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, Brother Jim. I just wanted to say that the handwriting is obviously on the wall, and the enemy is outside the gates, and we as believers need to get our house in order because the time is short. I believe it's running down to the wire. Yeah. I mean, if you can't see it, you're blind.
Yeah.
That's just that simple.
Indeed. Indeed. I mean, all the warning signs are there. I mean, the speed at which things are happening, the intensity at which things are happening is like a 2-minute warning in a football game.
Absolutely. Just like, you know, there's going to be great chaos, and then that man of sin is going to come on the scene, and then the church is going to be gone, and those left behind are going to have to face the hordes of hell.
Thank you for the call here today. And folks, again, all the reason to be alert to what's going on in this world, and today is the day of acceptance. Today is the day to receive Christ as your Savior. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We've got Joel calling in from Grinnell, Iowa. You're on the air, Joel.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your program. I really enjoyed it today. Two comments. One, I wanted to thank you for mentioning the shooting in Des Moines. I've personally met Mark Vance, the pastor. He's an amazing man. You'd never know that he's the pastor of a mega church. But really lifting them up in our prayers. Thank you so much for mentioning them. Mm-hmm. But secondly, I believe in a pre-trib eschatology. But one thing I wanted to say is, while we may think this is the end times, we don't know that. We never know when Jesus is coming back.
Right.
We can't just us that have a pre-trib eschatology can't just sit on our hands and go, oh well, we're going to get raptured anyway. No, we need to push back the forces of darkness. We need to fight against it because maybe people may have thought Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. They may have thought the Black Plague was the end times. But we still need to fight back because we never know. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome. Occupy till I come. And
yes, sir.
That's what we need to do. Thank you for your call here today. Our number 800-733-9829. We've got Micah calling from Eagle. You're on the air.
Hi. I like to also agree with that. I've met many Christians that think the end times are soon to come. And to be honest, we don't know if that is, because it says in the Bible, man doesn't know the day or the time that God's going to come back. We can hope for it, but we're supposed to be prepared for whatever the world throws at us.
Yeah,
so while this may seem terrible, we are supposed to prepare that it's going to pass, and that life will go back to normal, but we shouldn't just jump to conclusions like the man beforehand was saying and just sit on our hands and expect to be raptured.
You know, Jesus said, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. Ye shall have tribulation, but he said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so amidst the chaos and the strife that's taking place, we keep our eyes on him, we're faithful. And as mentioned, we don't know the day nor the hour, but we do know we need to be faithful, and we are called to be salt. We need to be called to be light, and that does not have an expiration to it. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Alice in Arkansas. You're on the air, Alice.
Thank you so much for taking my call. the scripture that comes to me is, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. In forgetting God, we forget how wonderful He is, how He created us, how He has a good plan for those that will truly be born again and live for Him. Another scripture is, people are doing what's right in their own eyes. I'm afraid that people call themselves Christians, but are we obeying the Word of God? How do we look to God? That's the only thing that really matters. And again, He's a loving and good God. He has nothing but good for those that will submit to Him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alice. Lori, in Florence, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm a vendor for grocery stores.
Yeah.
And I just received an email, and it says, attaches information regarding the removal of all gun titles from Fry's stores. Stores should have pulled titles. Please be sure all pulled titles are placed into totes. So they're already pulling all the gun magazines off the shelves in certain grocery stores.
Wow. Wow. And that's in Florence, Arizona?
Florence, Arizona. Fry's. I think it's a Western store.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it. Let's go to a caller in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes. My question is, if racism is such an issue, then how is it that when people are born and they have both sides, they have a black and a white parent, they all identify as black?
That's an interesting question. Thank you for raising that. And finally, Elizabeth in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes. These LGBT and the bisexuals and all of these, they're so deceived, and their need is Jesus. And let us pray they'll find Jesus as their Savior.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Thank you for the call. And truly, with all of these issues that are going on, Jesus is the answer to the lawlessness that is going on in this world today. And certainly we need to share the good news of the gospel. That's the answer. And that is the hope that it lies before us as well. So let's be faithful as salt. Let's be faithful as light, sharing the good news. Friends, our time is gone here, and we thank you for joining us today and, well, all this week here on Crosstalk, a Friday News Roundup here today. And just a reminder that the Lord's Day is coming. I trust that you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.